Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. Every day on Basic Gospel, you hear the Word of God revealing true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. We are live right now so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the tough issues of real life, call now, 844-32-BASIC. Again, that's 844-32-BASIC. This is Basic Gospel. And now here's Bob Christopher.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to start off today's broadcast with a question. Can we trust our emotions? We all have emotions. We all feel that's a part of our humanity. I mean, it's a very vivid aspect of our human existence. We like to feel things. We like to go to movies and be drawn in emotionally. We like to cry with the people on screen. We like to get scared when we see scary things. We like those emotions. But can we trust them? Can we look at those emotions and base decisions on how we feel at any given moment? Well, we better not, because our emotions can be deceptive.
Sure.
They're not necessarily based on truth.
Right.
They can be based on all kinds of erroneous thinking. I mean, we live in this world. We're constantly bombarded by worldly thinking, and that thinking can produce negative emotions. But out of these negative emotions, oftentimes we make decisions, and that's when we get ourselves into trouble. And that's when we really start this cycle that if we don't correct it, that we don't break out of it, can lead us down to depression and ultimately despair. So here's how our emotions work. We talked about this a little bit on Friday, but emotions are simply responders. So they respond to what's happening in these minds of ours. Now, these minds of ours get input through these five senses that we have.
Right.
There is sight, there is sound, there is taste, there is touch, there is hearing. Those are the five senses. Now, the two that are important there are sight and sound. So we take in sights, we take in sounds. Those start circulating through these minds of ours, and those sights and sounds can generate emotions. Feelings start to get into play, and then based on those feelings, we make decisions. So we take input, we feel something, and then we do something. Well, that's not the biblical way. God has called us to a life of faith, and that faith is our response to the truth. And our response to the truth can happen regardless of what we're feeling inside. And that's going to set us free.
Yeah.
So there's subjective living. Subjective living is based on feelings. You feel something, you do something. And then there's objective living. That's based on truth. We receive input from the Word of God, from the Spirit of God. That truth enters these minds of ours. And based on that truth, we can make decisions. So we hear the Word of God, we act on the Word of God, and then the byproduct of that is a feeling, is an emotion that transcends our circumstances. So which way do you want to live? Do you want to have objective living, or do you want to have subjective? There's one that's based on truth that will lead to freedom.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us on this edition. We'd love for you to join us by phone, as several of you have already, but still plenty of open lines right now, plenty of time on the clock. Give us a call, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. If you have something you'd like us to discuss or discuss with us, or a question out of the Bible that you just can't quite understand, perhaps a passage of Scripture, well, give us a call. That's why we're here live, so you can be a part of the program. And give us a call, 844-32-BASIC. Basic.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Bayshore, New York. Kimberly, you're on the air.
Well, praise the Lord. Grace be multiplied to you all.
Well, thank you very much.
How are you guys this evening?
We're doing fantastic. How are you on this Monday?
I'm doing good. Praise the Lord. I can't complain.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. How can we help you today?
Yeah, well, today I was actually calling in because me and my husband, over the weekend, we were watching TV, and we were watching a minister in particular on TV who happened to be talking about the topic of baptism. He just went on to say that, you know, baptism, what she was referring to, water baptism, doesn't save you or guarantee, you know, a place in heaven. But it does, it's a fruit or a manifestation of your belief in Christ once you've been born again. And I believe that as well as my husband. However, after the broadcast went off, we just began talking more about baptism and the different baptisms that are mentioned in the New Testament, which I'm aware of about 7 baptisms, but precisely I was really talking about 2 with my husband over the weekend, which was water baptism and then being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And as we were talking about this, he was just, you know, explaining to me how he believes that when a believer gets born again, obviously the Holy Spirit dwells in that person, and I also believe that as well. However, we kind of bumped heads when it came to the portion of Scripture when it talks about a believer being filled with the Holy Spirit or the evidence of speaking in tongues. And, you know, he went on to say that, you know, he instantaneously believes that a moment a person receives Christ, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and that they automatically start speaking or receive the gift of tongues. Whereas I'm not too sure about that. I wouldn't say I don't believe it, but I'm not really too sure. And I kind of was just calling to get more clarity on, you know, on what the Scripture says about a person who's born again and filled with the Spirit. Do they automatically get baptized in the Holy Spirit and are filled with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Or is that something that normally comes after?
Well, Kimberly, here's that's a loaded question. A lot of theological issues that you're laying out on the table today. So let's just start with them. Just first with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When you receive Jesus, the day you are born again, the day that you go from death to life because of the grace of God, the day that you were saved by grace through faith, God sends His Spirit to take up residence in you. So every born-again believer is indwelt by the Spirit of God. As Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, and he said, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ living in you, you do not belong to Him. So you can't be a Christian and not be indwelt by the Spirit. That is the seal, that is the mark that guarantees your eternal salvation. So you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. The second thing that happens at that moment of salvation is that you are baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. So Kimberly, the day that you received Jesus Christ, that was an individual thing, wasn't it? Somebody shared the gospel message with you. Maybe you read it in a book. Maybe you listened to somebody speak in a church service or on a radio program. I don't know the details, but somehow you heard the good news of Jesus, His death, His burial, His resurrection. You confessed with your mouth that Jesus was Lord. You believed in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And at that moment, after the Spirit indwelt you, then He baptized you or placed you into the body of Christ. So now you are a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. You are a part of the body. So there's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There's the baptism by the Holy Spirit that places you into the body of Christ. And then the third thing is the filling. Now, the filling is a kind of an ongoing process. We're permanently indwelt by the Spirit of God. The filling is a process that's occurring as we grow in grace and grow in our knowledge of Christ Jesus. Now, the filling of the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with speaking in tongues. The filling of the Holy Spirit is what empowers us to speak the language of love one to another. Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 5. Do not be drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It means to be filled with an understanding of the love of God. It means to be filled with this knowledge of the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God. Not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge, so that becomes a part of our experience. So the job of the Holy Spirit is to give our minds an understanding of the love of God so that we can express that love one to another. So we couldn't be filled, we couldn't be controlled by the Holy Spirit if the Holy Spirit was not indwelling us.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that's exactly, I do believe that, we both believe that, you know, once you're born again, the Holy Spirit does dwell in you. And I definitely believe that as well, that as we grow more in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he's filling us more and more with his Spirit. And I guess where I had the misunderstanding is where the filling also included the evidence of speaking in tongues, which you definitely did make sense of that for me. So,
yeah, there's okay, just, so we want to try to attach filling to one of those supernatural gifts, but that's not how the Word of God talks about it. We don't see that connection there in Scripture. Speaking in tongues, that was a spiritual gift that was being abused by the Corinthians, and that's why Paul addressed it. But it has nothing to do with salvation. Not everyone who receives the Lord immediately speaks in tongues. That didn't happen to me. Didn't happen to Bob Davis. Matter of fact, I don't think it happened to anybody here on our particular staff. But as we started being controlled or filled by the Holy Spirit, what we did see coming out was the love of God. And that's what's important. Let me give you one verse and really mark this in your Bible and memorize it. It's Galatians 5:6. Okay, it's Galatians 5:6. It's one of those significant passages in the Word of God. And it starts out with the only thing that counts. Now, those are neon words. That's a neon sign flashing. That's basically saying, pay attention. You know, take note of this. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. That's what this verse is all about. And he said, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. So the byproduct of our faith in Jesus Christ, the filling, that's where this filling, that's where we're putting ourselves, where we're voluntarily submitting ourselves to the control of the Holy Spirit. The result of that, the byproduct of that, is love for others. That's what counts. That's what God is interested in. Faith expressing itself in love.
Awesome. Awesome.
Does that make sense to you, Kimberly?
Thank you so much.
Well, you are so welcome. Let me do this. I wrote a book a couple of years ago called Love Is, and it's really an in-depth look at 1 Corinthians 13. Ask the question, what does God's love look like as it's directed toward us? And this book answers that. And as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to see that kind of love coming out of us and being directed into the lives of others. So let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy, okay?
Oh, thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
You're welcome, Kimberly. Thanks for your call.
Absolutely. Well, Love Is, and all of the products that we produce are available at our online store at store.basicgospel.net. As a matter of fact, the Basic Gospel annual Thanksgiving sale is on now through Wednesday the 26th with a 30% discount on all products. All you have to do is visit store.basicgospel.net, select the products you'd like, and enter the coupon code THANKFUL at checkout. You can also order by phone at 844-41-BASIC. So that's a 30% discount off of all products right now at store.basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-41-BASIC. It's the annual Thanksgiving sale. And either way, use coupon code THANKFUL when you check out.
Absolutely. And if you're looking for Christmas gifts, this is a wonderful time to take advantage of some fabulous resources that are going to have eternal consequences in the lives of others. So take advantage of this sale through this week.
Wednesday the 26th.
Absolutely. So Love is a part of that sale.
Yep.
Greg Park had a staff pick. His favorite resource that we have was one that is new, a very fresh product called Stand 2014, How to Find Solid Footing in a Troubled world. So that's available as well. So lots of resources there during the sale.
Absolutely. Again, you can find the sale at store.basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-41-BASIC.
Let's go down to Austin, Texas, and talk with Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hey, is this Bob Christopher?
Yes, it is.
Hey, I emailed you a couple times, and I was the guy that said I couldn't get you live, you know, and you suggested I call in and then listen to it at 3:30 on 1010.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I was going to ask something different, but I want to ask something pertaining to what Kimberly said, but I'll ask part of my first question. In Ephesians 4, 11, you had a woman call in last week about home church and this stuff. And I wanted 4:11, it says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers.
Yes.
What's the subject of that some? I believe I know what it is, but I just want to see if we agree.
Well, those.
I think it's in 4:8, the subject of it. And I'll just go ahead and say it. I think the subject of it is gifts.
Well, and I see those gifts as the people. It's, you know, we look at offices and people aspire to those offices, and we see in, I think, either Timothy or Titus, where it says, if you aspire to this, that's okay. That's a noble thing. But I think, God actually equips the body of Christ with people. There are evangelists. Billy Graham would be an evangelist. There are prophets. There are people that can just almost second nature cut through all of the rhetoric in the world and just bring people right to the very heart of the issue. There are pastor teachers. One guy that we had on our staff for many, many years, boy, he had the gift of teaching. He could take the most difficult concepts in the Word of God and explain it in such a simple way, you'd sit there and scratch your head and say, why couldn't I come up with that? But all of those gifts, all of those people are there for a purpose, and that is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church. So it's not that they do the work of ministry, it's they equip us, they equip the body and help build up and encourage the body to fulfill its work in this world today so that we can all grow up into Christ and be a light of hope and life in this world that we live in today.
Okay, I thought we would disagree, but that's okay. I love your program. But let me ask one more question. In Matthew 23:8, he's talking to the Pharisees, and he said, you shouldn't let people call you rabbi. And I believe that word is teacher. And it says to call no man father upon this earth, because your true father is in heaven, and to call no man teacher. So wouldn't that take it out of the flesh spectrum and put it into a spiritual gift and anointing that rests upon someone rather than a badge that you wear when you get out of seminary?
Well, I would agree with that. I mean, there's a lot of folks that have badges that they put on that come out of seminary that really can't do any of those things. They're not equipped to do those things. We look at a seminary degree as the credentials that we need, and that's not necessarily so. It's what the Spirit of God is doing inside a person, and the Spirit of God can send a person, can send anyone, despite their education, to do a work in equipping the body of Christ.
That's the thing. Most people that call themselves an apostle, a lot of them aren't sent. So you could be a teacher moving with the gift of apostleship or pastor word, just like we're doing right now. And I believe that both of us are operating in the pastoring of the word of Ephesians 8, okay? And it gets bigger. And what I'm saying is when I say it my way, I'm trying to decrease so that Jesus' finished work upon the cross increases, and I find that everything that I look in the Word, if I'll look at it perspective where it makes him larger and humbles and decreases me, it transforms me, my soul a lot better.
I think you're 100% right, Clay. I agree with that. It's all about Jesus. We like to take credit. That's just part of that pride, that ego. that all of us are born with. We inherit that. That's just part of living in a lost world. So we have to kind of put that aside and realize that if anything positive is going to happen as far as spiritually, if somebody is going to be born again of the Spirit, we're not going to be the ones doing that. We can point people to Jesus, but Jesus is the one that brings new birth. Jesus is the one that takes someone who is dead and makes them alive. Jesus is the one that can restore marriages. Jesus is the one that sets people free. So it's all Jesus. We just get a front row to watch him do some incredible things. And then that's the joy that we get when we make ourselves available to be used by him.
As a gilded vessel. And I want to tell you guys one thing. I've been saved for 20 years. And, you know, you said something. When I was born again, this pierced me like nothing I've heard in years. When I was born again, I wasn't a bad person that became good. And I'm not justified by what I do right, not condemned by what I do wrong, but by the precious blood of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I never realized that I was dead, completely dead. And that's what caused me to be born again. I always thought that when I was born again, it was somehow I was burying myself with him and then coming alive. But when I came out of the womb in the first Adam, I was dead. And see, you see what I'm saying, how it makes everything larger?
Absolutely.
Truth?
Absolutely. So you're exactly right. It's not that we were bad and made good. We were dead and have been made alive. It's by grace that we have been saved. That's the good news of the gospel.
Amen, brother. Okay, well, we're going to listen to you tonight. My wife and I listen to you every night together on the
what's
the internet.
That's wonderful, Clay. Well, tell her hello and call us back anytime, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, thank you, Bob. God bless you, sir.
You too. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Clay. Let's go and talk with Mike listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Listen, I had an experience. I've been a Christian. I was baptized a year before last summer. I have a relative who's a non-believer, and when he found out that I had accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, you know, I love him, and he's a relative, and he came to visit, and he started giving me a hard time about it, and he said something, and as much as I'm really ashamed to admit this, but he didn't see Christ in me. I wasn't a very good witness because I lost my temper when he said something to me. He said, "You're worshiping a man who soiled his diaper," meaning referring to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I just lost it. And I said, you know, well, you know, you atheists don't believe in good and evil. You don't believe in this. You don't believe in that. You're amoral, so on and so forth. And I mean, I was mad when he said that.
Well, that happens, Mike. Sometimes
I just lost it. And, you know, it played right into his hands because he said, "Oh, see how angry you are. Look how angry you are." And I didn't really have an answer for it, you know.
Well, sometimes that happens
too. How do you deal
with
people who come at you with hostility when they find out that you're a Christian?
Well, one, I think the first thing is to expect it. If the world hated Jesus, it's going to hate you. That's just the way it is. And so you're going to experience hostility from folks that are pretty close to you. That's just the way it is. So expect it. And I think if you expect it, then it's not going to take you by surprise when it happens. But let me do this, Mike. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of that book, Love Is. I think that'll be a big help to you, okay?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. And friends, Basic Gospel resources are great for sharing with others and for ourselves, for that matter. We produce products for the sole purpose of communicating the grace of God. And with that in mind, our annual Thanksgiving sale is on now and will run through Wednesday the 26th with a 30% discount on all products. Now, here's what you need to know. Since this is a Thanksgiving sale, you can order online at store.basicgospel.net and get that 30% discount by using the coupon code THANKFUL when you check out. You may also order by phone at 844-41-BASIC. Again, that's 844-41-BASIC. Just be sure to give the operator the coupon code THANKFUL. Those you share this Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday season with those products, they're going to be thankful for you sharing, and you're going to be thankful that you did. So take advantage of this 30% discount on all Basic Gospel products now through Wednesday the 26th. Use coupon code THANKFUL when ordering at online at store.basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-41-BASIC. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.